It's Jazz 88, and I'm chatting with the legendary artist George Benson. We're discussing his new release, Dreams Do Come True. Now, the sessions for this record go back to a 1989 collaboration with conductor and arranger Robert Farnon. Mr. Benson, thank you so much for joining us on Jazz 88, and congratulations on getting this piece of work into the universe.
Well, thank you very much. It was very difficult, but very pleasurable. So it finally came true, and that's the reason why I called it that. Hey, dreams do come true, you know.
Well, I mean, this must have been quite a thing to discover. If I understand correctly, you're going through your archives and you realize there's these tapes I thought I lost, but I found them. Can you bring us back to that moment when you realized you might actually have these recordings you made in 1989?
Well, I'm a guy who has, at one point, we were making money hand over fist, so I was buying everything, cars, and I had several houses and stuff like that, mostly because I wanted my family to live a good life. And so I was all over the place. I had a place in Hawaii and Inglewood, New Jersey, and so forth and so on. And so I sold one of the houses. I decided to scale down all of that because I'm getting to the place where I don't need all of that. And they took all of the stuff from one of my houses and they put it in storage. But there was so much stuff, there's no way I could keep track of it. So I didn't realize that the tapes were in there. And one day I got a call from a guy who had the storage place in New Jersey. And he said, Mr. Benson, I mean, this was after years. He said, Mr. Benson, what do you want us to do with this stuff? I said, what stuff are you talking about? He said, this is the storage company. We got a lot of your stuff here. He said, do you want us to sell it or what? Or throw it out or what? I said, read me some of the titles. And he read Robert Farnon and the London. I said, oh, my goodness. The London Symphony Orchestra. Send me that stuff right away. So he piled it into a truck along with the other stuff from my house. It took an 18-wheel track trailer truck to get it out here. And I started going through it, and everything was there. I couldn't believe it. And I started putting it back together. I called some of my friends who were monsters in the engineers and who had recording studios. They said, George, don't touch anything until I see it. So they came in and said, we can save all of this. I said, let's go. And then that's how we got the material back together.
Since you went away, the days grow long, and soon I'll hear old winter song. But I miss you most of all, my darling. When autumn leaves start to fall,
I'm chatting with George Benson, celebrating this new album, Dreams Do Come True, and it's been a long road to get it out into the world, but now it is available, and it sounds stunning. Now, one reason it sounds stunning is, of course, because of your beautiful work on vocals and guitar, but the reason you connected with Robert Farnon was initially because you're talking to Quincy Jones, and you said, who's the greatest arranger in the world? And you thought it would be a name you'd be more familiar with, but he said Robert Farnon, and Quincy Jones was right. These arrangements are gorgeous. And I think most importantly, the real winner is still your voice and guitar. It doesn't feel like he's fighting for the limelight. He's just supporting the tunes and supporting your performances. Can you tell me about the first couple charts, first couple sessions where you guys got together and you realized you had forged a really nice partnership?
Well, I realized, first of all, that I had found the right guy. When he raised his arm in front of the 87-piece orchestra and came down with the downbeat, all 87 pieces were right on the money with him. Of course, we're talking about members of the London Symphony Orchestra, one of the greatest orchestras on the planet, and they knew him and loved him very much. So all the arrangements were played with expertise like I had not heard in a long time. And so I said, oh, I found the right guy. But here was the problem. The arrangements were so sophisticated, I couldn't figure it out in just one hearing, because I usually like to play with the orchestra, you know, do my thing with the orchestra and create new things or improvise whatever comes to my mind while the music is being recorded. But in this case, I went against that. I said, no, I cannot destroy this beautiful music, because if I hit the wrong notes, it'll get sour. I said, so I'm going to let him put the music down. I think I did maybe one or two pieces that way with the sang along with the orchestra. And I took all of that back to New York. It was recorded on some of the best equipment available at that time, all digitally. And I had a great engineer, Al Schmidt, who has more Grammys than I have. So I knew I had the right man. And when I got it back to New York, I started recording at the studio. Now, this is a strange thing, but there was a guy working in the studio. He was the go-for man. He was the guy who would get us anything we needed in the studio to make us happy. His name is Bon Jovi now. He's a star, big star. But at that time, he was the go-for man, you know? A very pleasant guy. I never forgot him. And later, when I started hearing that name, I said, where have I heard that before? It was his uncle's studio that we were finishing the album in. So life is kind of out there, brother. You don't know what's going to happen next. That's just a caveat. That's the thing inside this story. But when I got that stuff in the studio and I started deciphering it, I realized it was going to be a mammoth job for me to try to come up to the expertise of the arranger and the musicianship. I could not spoil it. So I dug extra deep to try to get the best of what I could be. My voice was in good shape at that time, so the vocals came out better than I imagined. When I heard it years later, I couldn't believe it was me. I said, wait a minute now, is that me? You know? But I remember that we did do extra efforts in everything, every approach that we had toward the album.
Well, you know, it doesn't sound like Bon Jovi, so I got to imagine it's George Benson on there. Let's talk about the tune Love is Blue. And this is one of the tunes where you really shine both as a guitarist and a vocalist. And you were talking about the shape of your voice at the time being top notch. I couldn't agree more. And then the guitar playing is so great. You're in the studio by yourself figuring out how you want to approach these tunes. Do you got to figure it all out on voice and then go guitar? Once you're away from the orchestra and just with your trusted engineer, are you tackling these decisions together? Or what's the hierarchy for guitar and voice for this recording?
Well, to me, telling the story is the whole thing. How can I tell the story in a way that the audience can feel it and understand what it is the composer, the original composer, meant to convey to the audience? And how can I do it in a way that it becomes my story, the way I tell it? And, of course, the secret to that is the mix between, or the reaction between, my guitar and the vocals. And so this song was loaded with all kinds of chord changes and movements and rhythm changes, you know, tempo changes. I said, man, this is not going to be easy, so let me jump on this. And I did one thing first at a time, and I said, well, I got to get the guitar and the vocal up together and do what people know me for, you know, singing along with the guitar. And that became the key to bring it to life.
Well, Bring It to Life you did. Love is Blue is just a beautiful, beautiful track on an album full of beautiful tracks. Dreams Do Come True is the new release from George Benson, and I'm chatting with Mr. Benson now. Now, Mr. Benson, on March 22nd, 2023, I was interviewing Chris McBride, so I had to ask him about you because it's your birthday, and that was your 80th birthday. Happy belated birthday to you. Chris McBride, you will not be surprised, was very forthcoming with praise. He first said,
I always try very hard not to, you know, say very, you know, definite things, but for my personal feelings, he's our greatest living jazz guitarist.
Yeah.
I've seen him. See, one thing about George Benson, I'm not sure a lot of people realize, he still likes to hang out. So, like, if he's on the road and the show is over early, he'll take his guitar to a local jazz club and go sit in. And I've seen him many a night just embarrass every guitar player in the room. And I'm talking about
players.
Yeah. Like, you know, well-known players.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of people, they still, they underestimate George Benson. Oh, you know, he's a smooth guy. You know, he went and did all that pop. I'm like, yeah, okay. You just try to mess with him.
Yeah.
It'll be like sticking your arm into a cage with a Bengal tiger. He'll rip it right off, you know.
So. Well, I love the guitar, and I love to hear anybody who can play it. And they don't have to play it that well, but just I got to feel him when I hear him play. And he's been on many of those jam sessions in foreign countries. Late at night after we finished our concert, we would go downstairs in the hotel to the lobby where they had a nice club and a nice stage, and musicians from all over the world would go up on that stage and show what they could do. And I always felt compelled to get up there. Problem was, when I got up there, all the new cats that nobody ever heard of would ask me, they said, "Mr. Benson, they won't let me play." I said, "You're next. You're the next guy on the session." So they made me the leader of the jam session. Put me in that terrible position. But in one way, it was good because I got a chance to introduce some of the great players of our time, man. And to watch them play was just a pleasure.
One good cry is enough when you know it's for sure. Let go, you'll be friends. By wishing and waiting, hoping and praying, what is there to be said when the news that you've read says that you never was? Let me tell you that one goodbye is enough, is enough.
Back to the album Dreams Do Come True, because it's something we're loving here at Jazz 88. The song we have in heavy rotation is One Goodbye, and what drew me in is that vocal performance, which I think might be your greatest vocal performance and one of the most impressive ones I've heard. Every note is filled with a lot of spirit, but you hit that last enough right before the band takes over, and your voice just breaks a little bit, and there's a really different energy in that moment. It's a masterclass in exactly what you're saying, conveying the emotion of the song. Do you remember anything about recording One Goodbye in particular?
Man, it's the reason why I did the session. That song was written by a very young friend of mine. He couldn't have been much more than a teenager at the time. And he wrote this incredible song. I said, man, where did this come from? This cat is young. But his mother was an accomplished pianist. And that's where he got this quality from in his writing. And so I said, man, I'm going to take this song. And I'm going to find a way to do this on recording. And he said, all right, George, you got it. Here, 30-something years later, I finally get it out. But that was one of the tunes that I gave Mr. Farnan, Robert Farnan, the great arranger. I said, man, see what you can do with this, because I love this song. And he did a tremendous job. So I could only lay down a simple bowl so that the arrangement could shine through. And I can't wait to hear my friend's comments on it. I haven't gotten in touch with him yet, but I'm waiting to hear his comments.
Is enough? Is enough?
I've been chatting with George Benson about this new record, Dreams Do Come True. And Mr. Benson, it is a dream come true to get to chat with you. And it's also really an honor to get to play this music on the air and celebrate a living legend in the world of jazz. Thank you for taking time to chat with Jazz 88. And honestly, thank you for taking the phone call from probably some random phone number in New Jersey that lets you find out that this record was actually still available and something that you could share with the world, because the world is better for having this in the conversation.
Hey, thank you for saying that. If I ever talk to that guy again, I'm going to tell him what you said, brother.